George, how you doing, man?
Good.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So we're at the PDC, and you guys have been actually doing something over there in Robot World. What's going on?
So the big news here is that, you know, the concurrency engine and
yes.
the distribution engine, I think we first talked about like almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So out of incubation, it's a product. We're going to make it standalone because a lot of people, you know, download the robotics thing, but then they use it to run their web farm. So we decided to just make it stand on its own.
Uh-huh.
And we're here, you know, telling about some big customers like Siemens and Tyco and applying it to some real-world problems. And having it be a product that people can use on every day on any type of software. Scale up, scale down, scale out.
Cool. Because we talked about that, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago about, you know, because this was before the CCR was put into the robotics SDK.
Yeah.
But that's where you found a home, and it was a logical home.
It was a logical home because robotics has so much need for orchestration, for concurrency. It has complexity that blows up right away. And at the same time, it is software.
Yeah.
You're talking to the network, you're talking to your drive, you're talking to sensors, you're talking to other machines. It was a good way to go out in the market so that you're real, you're robust, you can be good at least at one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, based on that feedback, you go out and people basically watch the Channel 9 interviews and now they're running 50,000 servers on it.
So what exactly did you guys have to do to pull it out of robotics and repackage it into the toolkit, the CCR and DSS toolkit 2008?
We didn't have to do anything from the... Yeah, the name is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't our first choice. But it was always separated. So CCR, the concurrency engine, the programming model, was always its own thing. We made sure it didn't get polluted with any dependencies from above. DSS, the distributed runtime, again, completely normalized in CCR. So all we had to do basically is repackage it in terms of setup and then, you know, move some links around on MSDN. But it was always its own engine. So it was very easy, actually.
So it's been interesting because it wasn't really designed to be... you know, running on 50,000 servers, dealing with billions of transactions. You know, did you have to make modifications? What were some of the learnings?
So, the thing I had an intuition for is do not add stuff until people really had a need for it. Instead, use your intuition to make it, you know, in some last 2 or 3 years based on your intuition. So we did from very early, we normalized down to have these coordination primitives that are very flexible, very easy for people to express a huge number of patterns. Patterns that you now see everywhere. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're now doing actually has some of that same logic underneath. It's just called different names. So we didn't add too much too early. So we had a very lean runtime. It was very easy when somebody found a bug to fix it, so we're very agile. And then when people ask for something, we just did it. Instead of you writing 10 lines of code, now you do one thing, like interleave, and we take care of everything for you. So just take it slow, basically, have an overall programming model, and then just do it when people ask.
Excellent. So what exactly are you releasing in this toolkit? I mean, obviously, you have the core components. What else? Is there IDE?
Right. So we have the visual programming language. It's a visual manifestation of the programming model. So we're a pure data flow. We're a data dependency scheduler. Because of that, we can express a lot of things. But having a visual language, it's really nice to do fast prototyping. The other thing we do is we compile down to human-readable C-sharp. So you have this complicated model that's hierarchical.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually compile out C-sharp code that shows a little asynchrony, and you can actually read it.
Nice.
So it's a really nice going from this visual model view to a concrete human-readable view, because it's easy to do code generation when there's a lot of stuff you can't understand. So it's very easy for people to start connect components, discover things, and build complex orchestrations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we take care of atomicity, of comparison, of scaling.
Amazing.
So we have the visual language. The other thing we have is we have essentially a tool that lets you distribute applications across domains, computational domains. So you can say, I want to run this service that does, let's say, vision processing or, you know, mail OCR reading on this machine, and I want to run 10 other on this other 10 machines. And you just visually drag and drop. We preserve the flow, the connections. When the machines come up, we do it in the right order. We deal with all failure combinations. You don't have to deal with any of that. And the system just starts up, find each other, and it's open running across machines.
Amazing.
So we make that available as well. And again, it's really easy to try that through robotics, right? You can have multiple robots cooperate. But that wasn't the intent. The beginning was just to have a general application model, distributed and concurrent.
Okay, this is interesting though. So what you're saying, I mean, certainly by being so heavily invested in robotics over the past 5 years, you must have gotten some learnings that have helped you. In other words, this toolkit might not have been what it is today without the work that you did in robotics.
Oh, absolutely not. First of all, we were an incubation. We became a product 2 years ago. And to become a product, you have to pass security reviews, you get feedback from the community, you adjust APIs based on what people tell you. So again, being a product and being quickly out in front of the customer really tunes the API. But the overall architecture, it hasn't changed since before we were on Channel 9, five years. And that's a good sign.
It is. Now, what about the programming model, though?
So the programming model, again, where we differ, so you can use some of the stuff that we're doing in DevDiv now as a way to ease yourself into concurrency.
Yeah.
But we always thought that some ways you really have to start thinking differently. You have to loosely couple components. You have to understand that there's queuing in between. And it's really about coordination. Just let things happen and have these very concise primitives that tell you do this when this happens, any order. You can avoid a huge class of deadlocks. You can scale because the system scales for you. So the programming model, again, is different. But because we use C# iterators, I don't know if you remember talking about that, I'll talk about it in our talk. We can do things in one line. We can say yield return on a receive, and that could be from the network or from a file. And you're not blocking a thread. We can literally have hundreds of millions of asynchronous operations out there, and your code looks like conventional synchronous code.
Nice.
And we don't need a new language. You can use this from F#, you can use this from C#, you can use this from VB, from all this stuff.
Can you use it from C++?
Yes. Managed C++.
Managed C++. That's interesting. Very cool. So, when is this released? What the PDC is the coming out party for this.
Yep.
While we're shooting the video here.
Yep. So, we're going to announce availability. Rick Rass is going to announce availability on his keynote on the 29th. It's going to be available on the 29th for download. Unlike the robotics SDK, where you essentially had to pay $2 a pop for runtime, now you just pay for the developer seat, you get our tools, you get the runtime, and you have unlimited distribution. So the 29th, this stuff can download and run it on as many machines or servers as you feel like.
So I want to dig a little bit into the translation, because I find that really interesting, going from your visual model to basically, are you going from IL to IL? What are you doing? Are you actually going to syntax to syntax?
We're actually going to syntax. So we're going to C# syntax, but there is an underlying model.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, the CCR is about these data dependencies. So you have this flow of data running through the system. You put the constraints. So underneath, we have this computational model of what needs to happen. Think of it as a direct execution graph, right? And VPL is a visual manifestation, but underneath, it keeps it in this abstract form.
Okay.
So when you decide to go to code, or when you decide to interpret, which we also allow, you can do this really cool web-based debugging and all that. But instead of just leaving it at that abstract level, we go to syntax because we have these high-order primitives of how code should look if you're doing these asynchronous execution graphs. So these snippets show up where you do these joins or you do these yields or you do these interleaves. And it's, again, human-readable. It's basically the way that you should be writing concurrent code. It kind of teaches you. You basically take two blocks and you say, do this and this, then do this. Oh, how would code look for that? So you just say, compile. And it shows you how the code looks for that.
Because it's going to C#, I mean, you have to be using the components of C# as they exist today.
Yes.
Plug into your CCR library.
CCR and RDSS services.
Got it.
So you drag and drop the services you need, you orchestrate them, and then you say compile, and there goes the code.
Excellent. And there's you on the screen.
Oh,
right on.
I've been wearing the same shirt. I have like three of them. So,
so you don't have a lot of shirts.
No, huh? Not really.
Right on. You look very serious in this interview.
Yeah.
Lights, you need to have a mic. Nice, man. Right. Well, this is great, George. And
right.
You're giving the talk here. It's a session, so it's going to be on Channel 9 within 24 hours of the session. So all the Niners watching this are going to be able to see it.
All right.
It's cool. Is there anything you want to show us, or just...
A lot of the stuff we have running on it right now. I can show you a video of the stuff Tyco and Siemens is doing. So one interesting thing is what we heard from Siemens is that this actually did a lot better than they thought it would. They didn't expect that somebody at Microsoft would have cooked up something that they can just drop in on this huge legacy system. And here it is managing 70% of the world's physical mail.
Wow.
Processing millions of operations a second, being robust,
nice.
Being responsive. The other thing we learned from Taiko was some example of robots and stuff. Another thing we learned from Taiko was he linearly scales. So these guys do massive event-based systems. So they said, okay, we put in the CCR, we double the number of cores, we double the message throughput. Simple as that. The guy comes back from a Microsoft conference. In 2 days, he has it running on this massive system.
Wow.
So these are cool things you learn when you become a product and you're real and all that. So I'm excited.
Excellent.
It's good to take incubation product and back.
Well, great work, man. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks, man.